A master either works in his mind or by hand. If he is a sculptor, he has the complete figure in his mind or in his chisel. This is Dr. Herbert L. Byerly, Dean of the University of Healing here in Campo, California, with the thought for today. A master either works in his mind or by hand. If he is a sculptor, he has the complete figure in his mind or in his chisel. Now, isn't this true for all of us? We have either the complete figure in our mind or in our hand. We were singing a song the other day, and as we were singing the song, the children were saying, "Hey, that's not right." "No, no, no, no." They were saying, "That's not right." And I said, "What do you mean that's not right?" Well, we were singing, "God bless America, land that I love." They said, "No, no, no." And I said, what, no? "Well, I am God, so then I bless America." And I thought, hey, cool. That kid really caught on. So, "I bless America, land that I love. I stand beside her and guide her through the night with the light from within. From the mountains to the prairies to the ocean white with foam. I bless America, my home sweet home. I bless America, my home sweet home." Now, what kind of a master are we? What kind of a master are you? Are you a sculptor? Are you creating something? Are you a painter? You know, when a painter paints a scene, you can't always tell what that scene is because you look at it and you say, "Oh, I didn't see that there." Because he sees a nuance. He sees a gentleness. He sees a perfection in the painting that is in the scene and puts it in his painting. And we might have missed it because we were just looking at the normal bushes and normal hills and normal trees. Now, a master either works in his mind or by his hand. My mother and my father always gave us this little ditty. If you haven't got it in your head, you have to have it in your feet. Mm-hmm. So if you forget it, you got to go back again and again until you get it. My dad knew that the psychology of kids is such that it was. And so he would place a screwdriver right on the middle of his workbench. Right on the middle of his workbench. Nothing around to confuse it, nothing around. And he would send each one of us out there three times, and we couldn't find that screwdriver because we were looking for its normal place to be, like in the holder on the wall or in the, you know, wherever it's supposed to be, or in the drawer, but not right out in plain sight on the workbench. And there's about three of us kids that were sent out. My two sisters, I, and my older brother. Yeah. And so we couldn't find it. And then he offered us an incentive. He said, "I'm sending you once more. And if you don't find it, I'm going to come out there and I'm going to spank you with it." So we went out there and we found it. It was right there in the middle of the workbench like it always was, untouched. That's why they say if you want to hide your jewelry or your valuable things in your house, leave them out in the open. Nobody will think they're of any value, you know. And they are of the proper value. They don't belong to anybody but you. You have them where you use them. And this is a beautiful thing. A master either works in his mind or by his hand. Now, what kind of a master are you? What kind of a master am I? Am I working by my mind or by my hand? Now, we spoke the other day about these Chinese and Japanese wood craftsmen and how they lacquer their things that they make. And then they polish them and polish them and polish them and polish them. And then they lacquer them and they polish them. They put on maybe 30 coats of lacquer. Well, now, my goodness sakes, what benefit is 30 coats of lacquer? Well, the benefit of 30 coats of lacquer is in the mind of the one doing it. And that's called perfection. He sees it as absolutely perfect. And he buffs it down so that there's not one little error, one little mistake, one little thing out of place on it. And it could be a handle for a comb, you know. It could be a musical instrument. It could be something big, small, indifferent. But everything they make with precision. Now, is he doing this with his hand? He's doing it with his mind. He is seeing that perfect. And then he is encouraging it to be that which he sees it to be. And he brings it out of the very essence of what he's working with. Now, I have, you set the table here. Now, yesterday I said, now, Sylvia's going to be home. I want this table set now for all five of us. And I want it set right this way. And I'm going to move this over here, and I'm going to do this and this and this. And I want you on my right, because then I don't have to see you when you're falling asleep. And I want you on my left, because that's where I want you to be. And then the two of you can be where you want. So they were setting the table, and they were putting the placemats here, and putting it here, and putting it here, putting it here. I said, no. First, you have a key, me. My placemat must be in a certain place because I've got the computer here, the recorder here, all this paraphernalia here. So then you move out from my placemat. And then you go here, doot, 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 doot. And if you have no imagination, you adjust them and adjust them and adjust them. And if you have imagination, you just see it done, and then you lay mine down and go ding, 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 ding. And you can take a ruler and measure between them, and within a hair's Nat's eyebrow, they would be perfect. And then I said, also put everything else down. We're not eating right now, but put the silverware down. Well, Sylvia's not here. Well, put the silverware down. Put the plates down. Put everything down. Set the table just like you would normally set. How can you envision a table that's not set perfectly? Sylvia's not there, so there's an empty hole. Well, set it anyhow. She's there in spirit, isn't she? Were you there in spirit? Thank you. She was there in spirit. And so, huh?
Yes, I said.
Well, that's fine. A little late, but that's fine. But she's there in spirit. So everything should be set. Now, I was away for a number of months, and I said, am I with you? And they said, oh, yes, you're with me. And I said, am I really with you? Oh, yes, you're really with us. Have you set a place at the table every night for me, and every noon and every breakfast? No. Have you kept my chair for me that I sit in, you know, and give my talks from? No. Have you gone in and changed my linen on my beds and so forth like you would normally do when I'm there? No. Did you clean up my house and keep it all beautiful for me? No. Well, I wasn't there. I had no place to be. I wasn't welcome. I wasn't a guest. Sylvia just returned from 3 weeks in Switzerland, and Sylvia went there as a representative of the University of Healing, Church of God Unlimited, and Sylvia went to the homes of her relatives, and she went to the homes of students of the university, and in each place she was welcomed as a representative of the University of Healing. She is welcomed as a representative of the philosophy. I probably should say more of the philosophy than the university. But wherever she went, they were so eager to see her. And they paid her way, and they gave her donations to the university. And they did everything they could to make her feel welcome and to make her feel that her trip had come for more than just a holiday. And why did that happen that way? Because that's what she had in her consciousness. She created everyone, everywhere she went, receiving her as a master, receiving her as a representative of the uni, receiving her as a representative of the philosophy. Now, Sylvia would not have the capacity to speak contrary to the philosophy. She would not have the capacity to tell tales about anybody. She would not have the capacity to see anything imperfect in anybody, because she represents the philosophy. Now, she came home with her weasel sack filled with million-dollar bills because they appreciated her so much. Everybody appreciated her so much because this is what... Now, Sylvia, I see a little laugh on your face. Now, I want to tell you, Sylvia, don't lie to me. You went over there and you told Ellen, now you're going to make lots of money. Didn't you say that? Mm-hmm. You said that.
Okay.
Not okay. You said that, yes, because Ellen repeated, yes, it to me of what you said.
Okay.
Now, you say okay. No, now, you forgot your mission as soon as you left the United States. You shouldn't do that. You should maintain that mission because, you see, that's your master crafts. That's what you're a master worker. That's what you're doing. You're creating it. It's not that you need the money. It's not that you need the attention of the people. This is who you are. Can you, as Michelangelo, create something that Michelangelo couldn't create? You can only create what Michelangelo creates. Can you, as Shakespeare, go and make a statue? Maybe, if you tried. But it's better for you to do writing, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now, this is what we must do. We must always remember who we are and what our program for ourselves is in life. If we forget who we are and what our program is in life, then we might as well dig a hole and climb in and pull the dirt over us. Because we're nothing. We're nothing. We're not accomplishing anything. Sylvia was telling us about one of the little girls, the niece, the granddaughter of Gertrude. And in school, the children in her class were all given a responsibility to find their way to a house that they were told to go find their way to. And they were told not street signs, not houses, not, they were to go so many feet, so many steps, they were to go up so many staircases, they were to turn right, turn left, they were to do this, to go to a mailbox, and so forth and so on. And it was quite a ways away. And they could take someone with them. But they had to do this. And there were no street signs, there was no details, they had to come to the right thing. And when they got to the mailbox, which was the one that they were supposed to find, it had the little symbol on the outside that they were told would be there. Some of them, the symbol blew away. But the symbol was on the outside. And so when her granddaughter found the place, she looked back at Sylvia, because Sylvia had gone along to encourage her. And she was so happy. And she took the note out, and the note says, "Congratulations, you found it." And then inside was some treats of candy, because that was just a little gift. And the little girl who lived in the house, who was in Sabrina's class, looked down and said, "Yeah, that's it, that's it, that's it." You know, she was so happy for her. But you see, this is the training, the lovely training that some teachers can do to help children find their way home, to help children never be lost, to help children to think in other terms than numbers and streets and houses, but to think in steps, to think in ways of approaching something, so they can never be lost. They can never be lost. And if they can't read, they can still find their way. Now, that's a master. That's a master teacher. And the demonstration of that master teacher, what would you say, the product of that master teacher are the minds of her students. Now, Sylvia has a product of her efforts and her work, the expression of the philosophy. Wherever Sylvia goes, the philosophy is being taught. As Sylvia says, "I only speak the principle." Well, that's great. But Sylvia, only speak the principle always, even when you come home. If you should speak the principle when you're there, you should speak the principle even more here. And if you are saying little remarks that you might have heard there that might be derogatory or in any way limiting about a particular person or something, never repeat it. We don't need to know it. We don't need to feel sorry for the circumstance. We don't need anything. If someone tells you, well, I never did like the uni, I never did like it, never repeat that. Because is that your belief of never liking the uni? No, then don't repeat it. Only repeat what is your choice. And so, fortunately, nobody ever told you anything like that. But if they did, never repeat it. Only repeat the truth. Only be the greatest sculptor in the world. Have in your mind, before you start your work of sculpting, what product you're coming up with. I can well imagine Michelangelo had David in his mind when he looked at that stone, or the Pietà when he looked at another piece of marble. But you see, each piece of marble was dedicated to a statue. And that's the statue that arose from the marble. And each of us, when we dedicate our mind to whatever it is that is important to us, that is what will come forth. So, my loves, a master either works in his mind or by hand. If he is a sculptor, he has the complete figure in his mind or in his chisel. Where would you like to have it?
Mind.
In your mind.
In my
well, just remember that. It's your choice. And when it's your choice, that's all that matters. Have a lovely day. And know that I love you very much. I love you.
I love you.
I love you.
Thank you.